I'm so glad we are gathered together, and this is our second Sunday of the year. It seems like it seems like there's some new folks in the house. I'm glad you're here, and maybe you're coming to church for the first time, or maybe you're coming back to church, or you're visiting churches, or wherever you're coming from. Welcome to New Hope. This is where we say no perfect people allowed, and this is where we say come as you are, and we mean it. And we mean it. And we're going to start the year as we are, but we're looking for some healthy things to put into our life for 2020. That's what we're starting in the series. The series is called Live in 2020, Discovering Your Personal Vision for the New Year. We want to see things clearly. And last week we talked about this, kind of my main point for last week, and really for the whole series is this, that successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally, right? If we want to live a good life, there's actually some good things we need to put in our life and create habits and do it consistently so we can experience the good things we want back into our life. And so we're really digging into I think it's good things. Hopefully you think it's some good stuff today as we're walking through this. Because we're going to talk a little bit more about habits in our life and how they work. Because the reality is our habits, the things we do consistently, are shaping our life, right? What we do today is making us who we will be tomorrow. And then that's how life goes. And then it just accumulates. And then 20 years later, you're like, oh, I started that habit 20 years ago, and I should have stopped it 20 years ago. You know, that's how sometimes it works. And for some of us, it's like, man, I started that good habit 20 years ago, and I'm now experiencing the fruit from it in my life. That's how habits work, right? The thing we talked about last week as we started the conversation was that everybody has very similar goals in life. I mean, when we think about our goals, if I said, hey, do you want to live a life that's healthy, that you feel well, that each day you start up and feel good about the day, that you want to have relationships that are good and positive and encouraging, and that you want to understand who God is and find some purpose in your life, how many of you say yes, right? I mean, all of us have similar goals, but we talked about last week, even though we all may have similar goals, there are so many different outcomes in life, aren't there? There are things that we do in our life that either sidestep and walk around and outside of the good things we want in our life, and there's some things that we do to walk right into those good things and those good habits in our life. As I was studying this, I've listened to a number of podcasts. I'm a podcast listener. That's my kind of personal development, leadership development. I love like 30 minutes to an hour of just wow, that's great stuff. And so I listened to a number of different people as I was working on this series, because I need you to know, and I talked about last week things that I want to change and grow in, and some things that I've had as goals for the last 6 years that have never come into fruition. And if you remember, I was talking about, like, I've always said I want to lose 20 pounds, and I've said it, haven't done it, right? Like, it's still hanging around there, and I'm like, okay, so something's wrong. And the thing that's wrong when we think about setting new resolutions or goals is so often our goals are just to-dos, they're not to-bes. And that was our talk last week, that we're not just going to work on what we want to do. We want to start really wrestling with who do we want to be? Who does God want us to be and become? Because it's out of who you are that you'll develop the habits, right? And sometimes you start a habit because that's who you want to become, and that's who you actually start to become, because you're putting a good thing into your life. But there's a tension in this. There's a tension in good habits and bad habits. And here's the tension. Typically, when we have a bad habit in our life, it's there for a reason, right? And usually when we have a bad habit, we do something that we get an immediate reaction from. That's how bad habits work, right? Like, I think about those of you who smoke cigarettes, right? Nobody in this room can argue cigarettes are bad for you, right? They do things to your lungs, and there will be long-term issues that you're going to have in your life if you continue to smoke cigarettes. But the problem is that the short-term results are so good, right? Like, when you are a smoker, when you feel that urge to have a cigarette, that habit, when you do it, there's an immediate, like, ah. Oh. There's this sense of a real quick good result. And so whenever you think about those kind of bad habits you put in your life, it's a lot easier to live for the quick good result, isn't it? And not think about or worry about the long-term issues. And so we create bad habits not thinking about the long-term. We think about the quick fix that makes us feel good in that moment. That's how bad habits work. There's always a reward. And whatever that reward is, you know, for me, and I talked about chocolate, it's delicious, you know? And so, like, short term, when you eat chocolate, it's a beautiful thing, right? Like, when you eat, like, really good chocolate, if it's a special gift in our house. You know the Lindt chocolate balls? Lindt, not like Lindt, like belly button Lindt, but like L-I-N-D-T. Like, they're just, oh, and they're creamy in the middle. Those are, oh, I should stop talking about it. All right. Because the problem is, like, eating one of those, there is an instant awesome result. Like, there's a reward when you take that bite, and it is delicious. But if I did that every day and had a handful of them, because you can't just eat one, every day, there's going to be a long-term result that I don't want in my life, right? My waist isn't going to be shrinking. It's going to continue to grow if I make that a daily habit. That's the problem with bad habits. They have such great short-term reward. Even if it's not, like, everybody else would say, that's not a really good reward. But for you, there's something that triggers a reward, right, in your life. So bad habits are quick rewards with long-term problems. The problem is for most of us, the good habits in our life don't create quick rewards, right? I think about exercise. If you haven't exercised for a long, long time, and then you decide to exercise one day, it sucks by the end of that day because your body's saying, ouch, ooh, you haven't used that muscle before. Like, what is that? Or you're out of breath. And do we have anybody who runs? Like, we got some people who love running. All right. Wow. So don't chase him. He's the fastest one in the room, I guess. Right? Because, like, if I run too long, I taste blood. And that's not a good taste. I'm like, this is not, and nobody's chasing me. Why am I doing this? Right? This kind of thing. And so the instant result is, this is bad. Right? This is a bad thing. I don't want this in my life. And so the temporary, you know, the reward at the very beginning is not there for a good habit a lot of times. Those good habits are short-term, or create short-term struggles in our life, but they create long-term reward in our life. That's a problem. That's the tension when we're talking about, like, resolutions and putting on good things and taking off the bad things in our life. And that whole passage in Ephesians that talks about us as Christ followers, we are called to put off the old self, which is being led by the flesh, our sin nature, our desires. Because the problem is, sin is fun. And if you don't think sin is fun, you're doing it wrong, right? Like, there's things that you do that are wrong that are fun, that can be fun. And there is instant, like, woo, that was a blast. But long term, it's going to create a lot of damage in your life. So how do we get past that tension? How do we choose to instead say, you know what, this thing right now that I'm not seeing instant results in? Because spiritually speaking, like, for some people, just getting in the habit of reading the Bible, whether it's daily or every other day or regularly, can be a very hard habit to get into. Because sometimes we have wrong expectations. We think, I'm going to read the Bible, my life's going to be changed today. And when we read that passage or we read that verse, and it's like, well, that was okay. And then the rest of our day was like, it was just a day. We think, well, that wasn't worth it. Because we're thinking short-term reward, not long-term change. Whenever you start a new habit that's good, you have to have a patience and perseverance to wait and grow and look at the long-term change, right? So how do we get past this? Well, here's point number one, if you want to write this down, is that I think that our habits are connected to our identity, right? Our habits are connected to our identity. They're connected to who we see ourselves as. Like, who are we? Because who we are is what we then start to do, right? Yeah, that you do what you do for a reason. There's a reason why you do it, right? There's a reason behind the what you do. And it's all connected to your identity, to who you are. And that's what we're wrestling with at the beginning of this year, is not what we want to do, but who do we want to be? Who do we want to become? We want to understand why we do what we do so that we can do the right things and have our identity in the right place so that we can grow and we can learn and we can become all that God desires us to become. If you don't know who you are, here's the problem. Everybody else will tell you who you should be. Right? Insecure people are easily influenced by other people. Because if people struggle with who they are, they're going to attach to a group of somebody just so they can belong. And so they won't know who they are, and so they'll attach to another group, and they'll start to look like and become who that group is, even though that might not even be who they really should be or who they are. Somebody's telling you who you should be, right? All the time, we have so many things speaking into our lives to tell you who you should be. Our family of origin told us who we should be, right? Like growing up and our family as we grew up, they defined a lot of what we became, you know, the habits and the culture and our families. And so that's a big one that happens, whether that's good things or bad things. For some people, sports define, you know, who you are or the culture you live in or the culture you hang out with, the church that you belong to, the school that you go to. That's an interesting one. Every school has a different culture. So you can go to one school and try to fit into that school and then have to move and go to another school, and you're like, boy, this is completely different, and you have to look differently and change. That can affect who you become and who you are, right? Our entertainment choices, what we watch, how much we game, advertising, the friends that we choose. Like, there's so many people who tell you who you are. So if you don't know, I think you're going to live life to the habits of those who are closest to you. Show me your friends, I'll show you your life, right? And so we want to push past this. We want to really look at our identity, the reason why we do what we do. So much of what we do out of habit. There's a study that Duke did. Duke University did a study about habits and routines. And I don't know how many thousands of people they researched in this study. And they found out through that 40% of what we do every day is based upon a habit, meaning it's an unconscious decision. It's just something you do because you did it before and that the day before and the day before. 40% of your life just happens because of your habits. So if I ask the question, do you think your habits are important? It's 40% of your life. Like, yeah, I think it's pretty important for us to understand what those habits are and start actually making some conscious decisions and choices based upon what we do. Now, I wanted to just show you some practical stuff real quick, because I get kind of geeked out about leadership stuff and like personal growth stuff and those kind of things. And this is a psychological thing. This is called the habit loop. Whenever you have a habit in your life, there's a process that happens when you have a habit, whether it's bad or good. And this is what usually happens with a specific habit in your life. It usually starts with a trigger. A trigger might be like a certain place or a certain time of the day, or it could be a certain relationship. It could be a lot of different things, whatever that trigger is, right? Like for some of you, it may be at 3 o'clock every day, something triggers, and it's a time of day that says, I need a snack, and you go down to the break room, and you get a certain snack out of the snack machine, and you sit and you talk with your friends, and there's this trigger that happens every single time, every single day, that says, oh yeah, it's time for me to do this. And it becomes like an unconscious thing. It's like, oh, 3 o'clock, I'm hungry, boom, I just go do that thing. So that first starts with a trigger, and then that trigger leads to an action, right? So I got triggered by something, and I'm going to do that habit, whatever that habit is, for that day. For like, if it's hungry at 3 o'clock, the action, I'm going to go to the snack room and get something out of the machine, right? And then when you experience that action, the whole thing is that you're looking for a reward. Like, well, what's the good result in my life for that trigger and that action? What do I get out of it? This is the problem with bad habits, because they usually have instant rewards, right? I get home from work, I'm a little bit of stressed, and a little bit tired. That's the trigger. I come home. The action, I'm going to eat some chocolate. Why? Because there's an instant reward that says, I feel better. That was good. That tasted really good. And I have a smile on my face, right? Trigger, action, reward, and then it cycles over and over and over again. This is for any habit, whether it's good or bad. This is kind of how it works in our lives. So in order to change the action and the reward, sometimes we need to shake up our routine so we get out of the triggers of our life. Some of you have some bad habits that have a specific trigger. Maybe you need to figure out what is the trigger, because that trigger is actually a part of your identity, right? I know for some people, stress in life and a burden that overwhelms them can lead to the end of the day where it's, I'm just done, I'm exhausted, I don't want to be around any people, and I'm just emotionally exhausted. And there's a trigger at the end of the day that says, is this all there is? And it's a daily trigger that leads to an action. Well, I'm just going to drink a little. Just a little bit of alcohol, maybe a little beer. And it leads to a few more beers because you have an instant reward. I'm getting a little numb from what I felt. And so we create a bad habit that creates a cycle where then alcoholism kind of kicks in and an addiction takes over, right? And addiction can be anything, right? People use all sorts of things to escape life, you know? They use pornography, like, boo, let me get out of the real world, and let me, ooh, this is enticing, intriguing, and wow, kind of, I forget what's going on in the stress of my life, or shopping, man, I'm just going to, Amazon, let's see what sales are going on Amazon, I'm just going to scroll through, or I'm going to use my Kohl's cash, woohoo, you know, I'm going to go, like, shopping somewhere, and there's this trigger of, like, I feel lonely, so I'm going to go shopping, and I get an instant reward, I feel better for a moment, right? And so habits begin. Are you all with me? Or do I need to give like 20 more examples? I think we're all together, right? that's the cycle. That's the cycle. James Clear, it wrote a book called Atomic Habits, and it's a really good book. If you're wanting to break habits, you want to understand how they work, this is a fairly new book within the last year. He says, every action you take is a vote for the type of person you are. As you take actions, you build up evidence of your identity. Wow. So like when you do that bad habit, you're marking a vote for this is who I am, right? Or every time you do a good habit in your life and you put that thing in place, you're checking the box. That's a vote for my identity, who I am. And you're building it over and over and over again based upon your choices. So I want to talk today about a character we see in the Bible that I think gives us a good example of somebody who created a habit loop that was healthy. And that was right, and that created some things in his life that proved to be a big deal, a real big deal. Small habits, big change, okay? Small habits, big change. And I'm talking about this character in the Old Testament by the name of Daniel. And if you don't know who Daniel is, a lot of maybe if you grew up in church or Sunday school or went to VBS as a kid or something like that, you've heard about the story of Daniel in the lion's den, right? And that's what we're going to talk about today, Daniel. But we're not going to get to the lion's den. We're going to talk more about before the lion's den. Because in the lion's den, he was saved, which is a pretty cool story, right? Like, if you were, like, thrown into a lion's den full of hungry lions for something that you did that you knew you were supposed to do, and yet none of the lions ate you or chewed you up or even came in and did anything to you, and then now you come out clean, and you're a testimony of your God. Like, that's the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And the whole nation changed because of this guy. So what was a part of his routine? What was a part of his habits? Well, let's see what happened in this story. So if you're with me, you can turn to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament if you want to follow along. I always say, you know, bring your Bibles. We want you to read your Bibles or get on your mobile device and download the Bible app. In Daniel chapter 6, this is where the story is and what we're going to be looking at as we talk about this, as we talk about habits. The story for Daniel does not start as a good one because it starts in the season of Jerusalem and the Israelites being far away from God. I mean, they were rebelling against God over and over and over again. Babylon, the nation, came in and took over Jerusalem and put them into exile, you know. And with that, there was kidnappings. It's like, okay, all these people, they're coming back to Babylon with us. And typically what would happen is the kings and rulers that would go over and conquer another city or another place would take the brightest and the sharpest or the royalty from that place and bring them into their royal courts to make them a part of their kind of wise council, you know. And a part of that process, which isn't a good one, especially for the guys who are coming from a city like that to another city, so often those men would be castrated so that they were no longer a threat to the king and to his kingdom. Now, we don't explicitly know if that's what happened with Daniel, but we can, by history, assume that his manhood was taken from him in that process. And so he's moved from a land that he knew, a language that he knew, a people he knew, and a God that he knew in Jerusalem to this new foreign land that was a heathen land that God wasn't in or a part of, and with a king who just ruled because he was the ruler and he was in charge and he could do whatever he wanted. And now he was put into the king's court of now we want you to learn our stuff, learn our language. We want you to be studied up because you're going to be a part of bringing wisdom to the king. And so you have to learn all these new things, new habits, and all these gods that we worship. And you're going to have to do what we do. So he sucked from his hometown. Poor guy lost something important to him. And now he's learning things he doesn't want to learn. How would you do in that circumstance? That would suck, right? It'd be like, there'd be a lot of triggers and habit loops happening in my life if it's like, ah, what happened to my life, kind of a thing. We see Daniel respond in a different way because he moved up in leadership. He showed himself faithful to the king and to the ruler and bringing wisdom. And this is what it says. It pleased Darius, who is in charge, who is in charge of everything. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. He rose up through the leadership ranks. He was pretty high up in leadership. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king would not suffer loss. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Whoa! That's a going from where he was, being sucked into this new place, and now he's going to be in charge of the whole kingdom? Wow. What the heck was in Daniel's life, right? How did he? That sounds pretty successful to me. Like, he's doing some things right if that's where he's gained influence into the kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps, they tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They were jealous. They're like, who's this guy? He's not even really one of us. He's not a Babylonian. He's a Jew, and he's coming into here, and now he's raised. We don't like this. We're not good with this. So they can. The thing is, they could find no corruption in him. Why? Because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt or negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charging." For charges against this man, Daniel, unless it is something to do with the law of his God. They're seeing something different about Daniel that none of them have. Right? They're like, we can't catch him on all the things we do. We can't catch him on the corruption and the negligence and the, like, I think they're kind of self-proclaiming, like, that's what we do. But he's not doing any of those things. We got to attack the thing that we see most consistent in his life, and that is his God, right? So if you don't know the story, I'm just going to kind of just do a short piece of the story. We're not going to read the whole thing. We see that Daniel lived an upright life. And he lived an upright life because of where his identity was. It wasn't in his position. It wasn't in his knowledge. His identity wasn't... even coming from the king. His identity was founded, and they obviously saw it in his God. And that made him really different. And that made him really successful. And we see a habit in his life that they all didn't like. And so they put a decree out. And they went to Darius and said, "Hey, Darius, I'll tell you what, let's just decide that, for these next amount of time that nobody can pray to any other god. They all have to pray to you." It's kind of like supreme ruler, right? Supreme leader. They all have to bow, and when they pray to you. And anybody who doesn't is going to be thrown in lion's den. They're going to basically be killed, right? And so this is a threat to Daniel and his God, right? Because this is Daniel's habit. Let's keep reading. Let's skip down a little bit to verse 10. Said, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed." What did he do? He prayed. Giving thanks to who? His God. Not Darius. Not the one that could take his life. Because his identity wasn't found in him. And this is the phrase we need to understand. Just as he had done before. See, Daniel had a habit in his life. And it's a small habit, right? Three times a day, he'd go up into his private room, and he'd bow down and pray to his God, giving thanks. Three times a day. I don't know how long it took. I don't know what the process was. We don't have all the details in this part of the passage. Right? Could have been 5 minutes. He went up, did his prayers, came back down, went on with his day. studied his stuff, went to class, went to, you know, whatever he needed to do that day. And then, oh, it's time. I'm going to go back up, do my prayer. As he did every single day. He had this a small habit that made a huge impact, right? It's not it, that habit, that loop that he created in his life. When he got arrested, you know, and they threw him into the lion's pit, and all the other leaders were hoping, man, ha-ha, we got him. That's how we got him, because of his routine and his habit. We knew he did, and yet it did not end well for them because his habit proved his God in the lion's den when he was saved. And Darius said, okay, your God is now our God. And then all these guys who were trying to get you, yeah, we're going to throw them and their families into that lion's den. And those lions were now really hungry because they didn't eat Daniel the night before. And they lost everything. And they lost their lives. This is what I want us to understand. We're talking about these habits. Is that one small, consistent habit can lead to great change in your life. One small, consistent, the key words here, consistent. Successful people do consistently, while others do occasionally. One small, consistent habit can produce and create great change in your life if you choose to put it in place, if you choose to create a habit loop in your life that is a trigger, an action, and a reward. Things can just great things can happen. I wrote down this. I said, things that are done in secret affect your impact in public. And so often we disregard what happens in secret, right? There's things that, you know, we see great leaders, and we see great leaders in the Bible. We see great spiritual leaders today that have, excuse me, that have habits in their life that none of us will ever see. None of us will understand what they are. And that's fine. Because it's theirs. It's their walk. It's their habits. It's their routines. But we see some of these amazing spiritual leaders have amazing ministries, amazing impact on the world. And it always boggles my mind when I think about people like Billy Graham, right? Billy Graham, huge impact on the world. I mean, I don't know how many millions of people are in heaven because of Billy Graham. And the organization and the rallies and all the revivals that, you know, that he did all throughout the years. How many people will be in heaven because of him? And it's interesting, when you listen to interviews, he was a pretty simple man. Like, even like theologically, there would be these theologians that'd be like, want to argue against Billy Graham, and Billy Graham just says, I'm just about preaching Jesus. He kept it simple in his life. And then if you see his private life, he's like, I pray and read my Bible. Well, those are pretty, I mean, all of us can do that, right? Like, greatness is built upon the small, consistent, godly habits that no one will ever see. Some of us want the great results, but we don't want to do the small habits. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because then our identity is found in the great things. And when those great things disappear, our identity crashes with it. I've seen that happen spiritually too in people's lives. They've been trying to do things in ministries, and everybody's seeing what they're doing, and they're getting a lot of joy and affirmation and like credit, and they're loving it. They're loving the attention. But in the private parts of their life, they're living in sin. They're hiding things. They're covering things up, and they're even paying people off to say, don't let anybody know that that happened. And so in public, they're being affirmed, but their identity is messed up because they don't know who they are. And it all crumbles, and people get hurt in the process, right? That's spiritual leadership. That's high level, but what does it mean for you? Here's what I know, that God loves to take a small good habit in our life and make it into great things in our life. That's what he does. We see all through the story in the Bible, and I think we overcomplicate those small good things. This is what it says in Luke chapter, I think, 16? What is it? No, yeah, Luke 16. And you guys have heard this probably before when Jesus said this, he who is faithful in very little thing is faithful also in much. You guys have heard that before, right? Those who are faithful in the small stuff, like just like Daniel. He was faithful in the, like, I'm just going to pray three times a day. And he was given influence and shown to be faithful in much. But it all started with the little. And the opposite is true. Jesus says this, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Meaning, if I am corrupted just a little bit over here, why wouldn't I be corrupted really big over here? Don't underestimate the power of a small, faithful habit that God can grow in your life. But here's the bottom line. In order to be who you want to become, you have to know who you are. In order to be who you want to become, you have to know who you are. I already said it. Daniel knew who he was. Daniel knew where his identity was found. Daniel knew that it wasn't found in anybody else but his God. And the thing is with Daniel, by these small habits, he experienced affirmation from God himself, which actually you can too. You can experience God's affirmation in your life. You can hear it. Daniel, there were moments when he stopped and he was in intense prayer. In Daniel chapter 10, and this is kind of where we get this whole idea of a Daniel fast is from Daniel, like fasting for 21 days. He actually kind of gives us that example in the Old Testament. And he was in a season that was where he saw a vision from God that was it was difficult. I mean, it was terrifying. He didn't know what to do with it. And he's like, God, I need help with this one. I don't know what I'm seeing. Well, an angel shows up to him. And this is what it says. As soon as you began to pray, the angel says to Daniel, he says, as soon as you began to pray, a word went out. A word goes out when you pray to your heavenly Father, who is listening. He's alive. He's active. It's not like when we pray, it's kind of like a mumble jumble. If you're out there, God, hopefully, you know, maybe you can listen to me. He's like, no, when we pray, a word goes out. For Daniel, when he prayed, a word went out. And God responded to this and sent an angel to him that said, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. He heard the affirmation from his heavenly Father from the small habit he had done his whole life. Three times a day, I bow and pray to my God and give thanks. A moment of crisis, I bow for 3 weeks and pray and fast and seek my God in it. And a word goes out and he gets affirmed. You are highly esteemed. That small habit, don't worry, it has not gone unnoticed. God has seen it. And he wants to honor you in this. Daniel's identity was in his God. I would ask you, where is your identity? Who are you? Who are you allowing to define you? Who in your life is shaping you? I'll say it's okay to have some good people in your life shaping you in good ways, right? Do you have some wrong people or bad people in life shaping you in ways that you don't want to become? Now, I'm not saying just kick them out of your life, but you just need to know it, right? You just need to know who you are and what's happening in your life because of them. And so during this season, as we're moving into, and it starts today, a period for us as a church collectively of 21 days of prayer and fasting. That's what we're wrestling with. That's the question for our prayer and fasting. God, who do you want me to be? And who do I want to become? That's the prayer. We want God's identity in our lives. And as we do that, as you pursue him during this season together, as you pursue him during this 21 days, be ready for him to tell you who you are. And also be ready for the Holy Spirit to tell you who you shouldn't be. To start to prune out some of those things that he doesn't want in your life. Those habit loops that he wants to break in the strongholds that he may want to set you free from. We see this habit in Daniel's life in actually in the next chapter. Daniel chapter 10 is where he says, where he has the vision and then pursues God. And this is what he says. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. Like, what he saw in Daniel 10 caused him to just break down. It was a crisis. He wanted to understand the heart of God. And some of you in this room, you're already there in your life. You need to understand the heart of God and the circumstance you're in, just like Daniel. And he says, I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips. And I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. He fasted. He He said, God, I'm setting these things aside. I want you to know how broken I am inside, that I'm fasting from these things so you know how serious I am about praying. I'm seeking you and how I want you to move in my life. A small habit turned into a pretty deep habit in this season. And actually, in this one, again, an angel shows up. And again, I don't know how many times in the book of Daniel he gets the word back, you are highly esteemed. Like, why? Because of the small habits that you've proven yourself in your life. His identity keeps being affirmed because of the habits he's created in his life. I want us to be like Daniel for the next 21 days. I want us to have a heart that's ready, that may be a little broken. For some of us in the room, your heart is broken. I want us to have a heart that's soft and pliable, moldable, so that our God, who when we pray listens, has the opportunity to respond. He's always speaking. So often our hearts are hard, our lives are noisy, and we don't want to hear what he has to say. We need to soften our hearts, open our ears, and we need to fast from some things that we usually fill ourselves with, and instead spend the time with God. Pray. Pray more than you've prayed normally. Do devotions, like get into God's word. We have some tools and resources to help you in that process. I'll talk about those in just a moment. But I encourage you to join us in this season so that we can have God answer the question, who are we and who does he want us to become? So this is what we're doing as a church, all right? This is the practical. This is the put-on stuff that we're talking about. We're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting from January 12th through February 2nd. So we're starting it today, and we're ending it on Super Bowl Sunday, where we have our vision meeting that evening, and then we have a Super Bowl party where we just hang out and then we eat, all right? So if you've been hanging out for sweets, there'll be sweets on February 2nd, all right? So you can join us. So it's a feast of celebration to celebrate what God has done during this season. And the question we're asking is, who are you asking God to help you become? That's the key question for this fast for all of us. Now, the thing is, for all of us, there also may be something specific. So what specific thing are you praying for? Is there a specific thing you want to see God move in? Is there a specific problem you want him to be a part of and solve? Is there a health issue or concern that you have that, God, I want to experience healing or answers? Or is there a relationship that, like, I want clarity in this relationship? What is it? You can pray during a fast about a very specific thing. I wouldn't choose a bunch, just a specific thing you want to see God return an answer in. And trust him. Trust him to answer. Be ready to listen as you do that. I talked last week what fasting is. We are body, soul, and spirit. That's how we're created. And we're setting aside something we normally feed our body and our soul with. Things like certain types of food that we're going to say, I'm going to fast. Like in our family, we fast all sweets. Dairy, sugar, like the good things of life. You know, so we let those things go. For that season, we also fast some things in our life that are more about our souls. So media in our household, gaming, using computers, like just sitting in front of laptops and just doing stuff in the evenings. Like we fast from that stuff. Our screens are not on during that season. And our boys have gotten to the age, and some of you have youngins, we've been doing this with our kids from when they were really little. And we would tell them, guys, as a family, this is what we're doing. And we're fasting from these things. Now our kids are older and they're deciding what they're fasting from. And some of them, I'm like, wow. Like, one of our sons, Grayson, he loves tortilla chips. I mean, like, he's addicted to them. I know, like, years past, he's like, I'm not eating tortilla chips. I'm fasting them. And for some people, like, that's not a big deal. For him, that's a big deal. Because he loves, like, if you give a bag of chips, you have to take the bag away or they'll just keep going. Like, he just keeps inhaling them. So what are those things for you that you know what? That does matter to me. That food, that thing that fills my soul, that scrolling on social media, the shopping, whatever it is, I'm going to set that aside for 21 days, and instead I'm going to choose to fill that time with some spiritual habits. I'm going to pray during that time. I'm going to do devotional during that time. Maybe for you it's fasting lunch each day, you know, and saying instead of eating lunch during the week, I'm going to stop, I'm going to go in my car, and I'm going to pray by myself during my lunch break instead of doing what I would normally do, which might be good. You know, it might break a habit loop in your life. So whatever it is, I'm saying make your commitment. If you don't have you know, an idea of how to do that, we do have these pamphlets by Dr. Bill Bright, who founded Campus Crusade for Christ, and he spent a lot of research and study on it. Grab one of these in the table on your way out, and it'll help you as a guideline to decide what you're going to join us in this season of prayer and fasting. We ended up being able to order new devotionals for this year. We had devotionals last year. I think it was 21 Dangerous Prayers. We had some copies last week, copies of that, and there are still a few copies of last year's. If you want to grab that, you can. But we have a handful of these copies called The King's Agenda. It's Praying Through the King's Agenda. And it's a good devotional that gives some space for thought and response. So I would encourage you to grab one of these. If we don't have enough for everybody, we will make a downloadable version available as a PDF that you can use as well, and that'll be online tomorrow for you to join using it that way if you need to. So, because we only have so many of these copies available. Or maybe for you, it's finding just a reading plan. Some of you use the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app. There's reading plans in there. There's 21-day prayer and fasting reading plans already set up, and so you can just pick one, and each day, just take 5 minutes, or take that time when it's like, man, I'm hungry for this. Instead, I'm gonna do my devotions. I'm gonna read just this quick 5 minute thing, or I'm gonna go into a closet by myself in the quiet, like Daniel did, with no noise. And I'm gonna pray to my God. So we give you lots of options. I'm just saying, make up your mind on what you're gonna do during this season. Just pick something. And join us for this season of prayer and fasting. God, I'm thankful for the example of people like Daniel. That Daniel showed us the power of a small habit. And I know that you still do the same things today that you did back then. When we choose small, healthy habits, especially spiritual ones that connect with you, and we start seeking our identity in you instead of other things, seeking it in you instead of our marriage, or what our friends think of us, our identity being found in you rather than our job or our employment, or being a mom or a dad. There's so many things that tell us who we are, but so many of those things can be taken away from us. We need our identity in you, because you will not leave us or forsake us. And so, God, as we're going to take some time to respond, I'm just going to pray, Holy Spirit, you say what you want to say to each of us. We'd be open to listen to you. I want to give an opportunity this morning, because some of you, your identity has never been found in God, because you don't know God yet. You don't have a relationship with this God. Maybe you don't even know what he did. This is what God did. He loved you so much, he sent his one and only son to die on a cross and to pay for your sin. And scripture says, whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. The good news of the gospel is that you can have some good life now, but a great life in eternity forever. And that only comes through the person of Jesus Christ. If you want to start that relationship, if you've been trying to do it on your own, you're like, you know what, I need God in my life, I'm going to pray in just a moment, and you can join me in that prayer if you want to. It's not a magic prayer. It's not like Pastor said. This is you confessing to your Heavenly Father, God himself, that you need him, and that you want Jesus in your life, and that you believe Jesus is his son, and he died for you. It's your proclamation. And in that moment, and those of you who have done that in your life, your identity changes. You're no longer found in this world, in this brokenness, in this sin. You are now forgiven. You are covered. God's grace is over you. All the things you've done in the past, forgiven. All the things you'll do in the future, already forgiven. And you are made right with God. That's where our identity is, and that's where your identity can be found. And so if you want to pray this, you can invite God into your life. You can invite Christ in your life. If you want to do that, let's all just pray together in this attitude and spirit of prayer. You can say, Jesus, I believe you are God's son. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God, I know that I am a sinner. And I've tried living on my own and doing it my own way. but I want you to lead my life. I confess Jesus as my Savior, and I want him to be Lord and rule in my life. Please forgive me of my sins. I turn from them, and I turn to you. Enter into my life. And it's in Christ's name I pray alone. Amen. Amen. And for all of us in this room, I just wanted to read this passage. And we're going to sing a song in a moment so that we understand where our identity is found. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. That's what the gospel did for us. And that is who you are. Stop listening to the world. Start listening to the voice of your Heavenly Father. We're going to sing in response and let him speak over us. And I want you to just ask God this question: who am I to you? Who am I to you, God? And so, God, during this time, I pray that as we take this time to sing and respond, that you would speak, into our lives. We're going to watch this.